Parshas Veschanan, of course, is the parsha that addresses and where we have a recount of the Aseres HaDibros. Over the years, I've shown you some various distinguishing factors between the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro and the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Veschanan. I would like to take a look again at the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro versus the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Veschanan, and share with you some very new insights, and actually some of them have developed based upon the shiur last week. Just by way of introduction, whether you were participated or did not participate in last week's shiur, what we talked about was the fact that Sefer Dvarim is coined as Mishnah Torah by Chazal. Chazal referred to it as a repetition of the four Sfarim that were given previously, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. I noted that many Achronim, including the Nitziv, the Abarbanel, and Rav Hirsch himself, we were going to spend a lot of time discussing today, noted that it's not really a review of the Torah, even though Tosos and Maseches Gittin and Dav Beis and Aleph notes that Mishnah Torah means it's a review of the Torah. Rav Hirsch, the Nitziv, the Abarbanel show that there's an enormous amount of new mitzvos that are given in Sefer Dvarim that we have not yet received in Parshas Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, or at least they're not discussed yet in any of those parshas. They weren't written, they weren't articulated yet clearly in any of the four Chumashim. And therefore, the Mefarshei HaChumash go to lengths to try to understand what exactly Mishnah Torah is. And I shared with you Rav Hirsch's approach. I'm going to hold back from explaining Rav Hirsch's position, but what I'd like to do is share with you some of the very interesting nuances in the first Dibros in Parshas Yisro, and the second Dibros in Parshas Veechanan. Share with you this morning the approach of Rav Hirsch. I don't believe I've ever shared with you Rav Hirsch's approach in the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Veechanan, but it fits like a glove in terms of what he said last week in terms of how to understand Mishnah Torah, and I will review that, and I will show you again some very, very fascinating insights into the Aseres HaDibros, into Sefer Dvarim in general, and really where we're going in Sefer Dvarim, the approach of Sefer Dvarim, what the point of Sefer Dvarim is, and how really the Aseres HaDibros speaks to the essence of Sefer Dvarim in totality. So if you take a look on the handout that you have, you'll see the Aseres HaDibros in two different columns on page one. On page number two, I have Rav Hirsch's commentary on the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Veschanan. I have it in Hebrew because that's what's available online. And you can read it again in English if you have Rav Hirsch's commentary. But we will go first through page one, which is the Dibros, and point out multiple differences between the Dibros, and use those points to try to develop a theme, Rav Hirsch's theme, in terms of how to understand the Aseres HaDibros and how to understand Sefer Dvarim. The first and most basic distinction, you'll see on the page, I've bolded the differences between Yisro and Veschanan. Take a look in the opening column in Parshas Yisro, Perek Chaf. Who is the speaker? Who is the one who is giving the Dibros? So, of course, in Parshas Yisro, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael find themselves in Matan Torah, and the pasuk reads, "Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim el lemor." It's God. God is talking directly to the Jewish people, and it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'tzvahu ba'atzmo. It's a Hashem Himself who is articulating and speaking the Dibros to Bnei Yisrael. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk says. "Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim el lemor." It's Hashem speaking to the Jewish people. If you move on over to column B, on the very, very exact same side of the page, who's talking in our parsha, Parshas Veschanan? Let's read this paragraph. Vayikra Moshe es kol Yisrael vayomer aleihem. It's Moshe speaking to the Jewish people. Of course, Moshe is going to review that which God told Moshe to tell the Jewish people, but here it's Moshe talking, and we pointed this out last week. Throughout Sefer Dvarim, you will never see the pasuk Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. Right, the most basic, well-known pasuk that we see throughout Chamisha Chumshei Torah is not found in Sefer Dvarim, because Moshe in Sefer Dvarim is the speaker. It's Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer, and therefore in the Dibros as well, we see Vayikra Moshe el Kol Yisrael Vayomer Lehem. Moshe called all the Jewish people and he said to them, "Shema Yisrael, hear, Jewish people, Asachukim es mishpatim, the statutes and the laws, Asher Anochi dober boznecham yom, that I, Anochi, Moshe says, that I am speaking in your ears today, Ulemadetem osam, and I will teach them to you. Ushmartim lasosim, and you will keep them. Now, here's the pasuk. Hashem Elokeinu kara simanu bris b'chorev. God established, created a covenant with you in Chorev 40 years earlier. And that's column one. Lo esavoseinu karas Hashem esabris esos. Not only did God establish this covenant with that generation, ki itanu anachnu eila po hayom kulanu chayim. God established that covenant with us. God established the Aseres Adibos, not for just the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim, not just for the people who left Egypt, who saw the miracles of the Aseres HaMakos, who saw the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, who saw the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, but God tells Moshe, and now Moshe tells the Jewish people that Aseres Adibos is for everybody. Nobody is left out. That wasn't a one-time shot. That wasn't a one-off. Aseres HaDibros. That law wasn't just for that generation of the Midbar, but rather it's with everybody. Now, I will point out in a sidebar, note, by the way, the difference between the amount of words which are used in Yisro versus the amount of words which are used in Parshas Veschanim. And this is also speaks to the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebe'alpeh. Moshe uses a lot more words than God does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vaydaber Elokim es kol ha-dvar me'ele emar. Hashem said all these things. Now Moshe comes in, it's an entire paragraph. And you're going to see throughout the Aseres HaDibros, there's much more words that are used in Parshas Veschanim than there are in Sefer Shmos. And the reason is God is able to speak and to get a point across in less words than Moshe is. And this speaks to really the distinction globally between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. If you read the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ksuvim, they are words, and every word is very critical and very important. That's not to say that the words they use in Torah Shabbat are not. But we need more words. The rabbis need more words to explain something than a Kadosh Baruch Hu does in Torah Shabbat. And as we did point out last week as well, Sefer Dvarim on one level is some sort of Torah Shabbat. It's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, explaining, elucidating, describing, outlining, and concretizing everything that happened thus far. So as we noted last week, the Shemi Shmuel and others point out, Rabbi Soloveitchik makes this point as well, that here Moshe becomes Rabbeinu. Moshe becomes the teacher of the Jewish people. Moshe becomes a Rebbe. Moshe becomes Torah Shebe'al Peh, however it becomes and is created as Torah Shebichsav, because it is written the way God says for it to be written. So point number one, and the first point of distinction between the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Yisro and the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Veschanan, is who is the speaker. In Parshas Yisro, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vaydaber Elokim, as Kol HaDvar Me'ele Leimor. And in Parshas Veschanan, it's Moshe. Moshe is the speaker. Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Now, distinction number two, which I'm not going to drive home just yet, but it needs to be pointed out, is who is the listener. Who is the one and who are the people that God and Moshe are speaking to? Now, of course, it's the Jewish people. That's obvious. The pasuk says, Vaydaber Elokim es kol ha-dvar me'ele le'mor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to all the Jewish people, saying, and in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Veschanim, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. So, of course, we're speaking to the Jewish people. But note very carefully that it's a different Yisrael. It's a different group. It's a different subset of people. And we're going to have to talk about who those people are and whether or not that's going to make a distinguishing characteristic and whether that's going to be a critical point of demarcation between the Dibros in Yisro and the Dibros in Parshas Veschanim. So those are the first critical points that need to be noted regarding the Aseres HaDibros. If you take a look, and let's start going through Dibra by Dibra, each of the Ten Commandments, and pointing out distinctions, you'll take a look in the first. There is absolutely no difference. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. That is identical. The first of the Ten Commandments, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. That, of course, is the mitzvah that we refer to and that the Rambam and other Rishonim and Gaonim understand is the mitzvah of Emunah, belief in Hashem. We believe in God because God took us out of Egypt. That's why we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not time to discuss it now, but many of the Rishonim, including the Kuzri, including the Ibn Ezra, including the Ramban and others, note that our belief in God stems from the fact that God took us out of Egypt and not that God created the world. Because you read the pasuk carefully, read the first of the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. Why does it not say believe in God Asher Berasicha? who created Shemayim Varetz. It doesn't say that. And the basic approach, although I can't discuss it now at greater length, is because we weren't at Matan, we weren't at creation. We weren't there. We can't speak to it. We don't know. But Mibeis Avadim, there were a million people there plus. Right? We know that. That's a fact. Nobody denies. Everybody knows that God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, so therefore our belief system begins with something that we know, that we saw, that there was five-finger clarity with, as the Rambam writes, and that is something that's passed on from generation to generation. No parent would lie to his or her child, and therefore our belief in God stems from the Exodus and not from creation. But of course, for our conversation, for our purposes today, you see no distinction at all in the first of the Ten Commandments between the way they are articulated by God in Sefer Shmos, Parshas V'Yisro, as opposed to the way they're articulated by Moshe in Parshas V'Eschanan in Sefer Dvar. However, as soon as you get to the second commandment, Dibra number two, you find a very minor distinction. Now, if I were to read to you the second Dibra, and you were to read the second Dibra, both in Yisro and V'eschanan, you and I would probably not pick up on any significant difference. Lo yelecha Elohim Elohim acher malpanai, lo sasecha pesav v'chol tmuna asher b'shamayim mimal v'asher meretz mitachas. You shouldn't believe in other gods. You shouldn't fashion any other god, not a statue, not a picture, asher ba'aretz, asher mitachas, whether it's on the earth, whether it's in the water. Lo sishtachav elhem, you shouldn't bow down. Lo se'abdem, you shouldn't worship any other figure. Why? Kenoch Hashem lokecha, I am Hashem your God. El kana, I am a God who takes revenge. I will continue to do so for generation and generation. Now, if we were to read that quickly, and even not so quickly, very likely you will not see any distinction at all between the Dibra number two in Parshas Yisro versus Dibra two in Parshas Veschana. There's only one difference. As you've seen, I've highlighted it. There's a vav. In the Dibros in Parshas Yisro, in the second commandment, it says, Pesel v'chol temuna. Don't fashion, don't create, don't worship any image and any picture. Vav. It's a vav. Vav hachibur. However, take a look in this week's Parsha. The Torah says, Pesel kol temuna. You shouldn't have any other gods. Elohim acher malpanai lo sasi l'cha. You shouldn't fashion. You shouldn't create. Pesel kol temuna. A statue, an idol, any image, any picture whatsoever. So, of course, the first item that we're noting, the first distinction, the first difference between the commandments that can be found in the second, in Dibra 2, in the second of the Aseret Dibros, and it's a minor difference, but as you will see, and as we will develop, it's an extraordinarily significant difference. You see, as we pointed out moments ago, the most minuscule and the most minor distinction, Torah Shebech Tzav, is really life-changing and is earth-shattering. And this Vav, as you will see toward the end of today's shiur, is going to play a significant role in understanding the more larger difference between the Dibros and Parshas Yisro and the Dibros and Parshas Veschanan. So that's distinction number one. The additional Vav in Parshas Yisro, as opposed to the removal. That means Moshe Rabbeinu specifically took out that Vav, right? It says, Pesel v'chol temuna. That's how God said it to the Jewish people. So recognize what Moshe did. Moshe just did something significant. He removed a vav, not pesel v'chol temuna. Moshe Rabbeinu decided that it shouldn't say pesel kol temuna, but rather it should say pesel kol temuna. We have to understand why is it that Moshe removes that vav from the Dibros in Parshas V'eschanan in Mishneh Torah. Let's move now to the third of the Dibros. Dibra number three, Lo sisa shem el kecha l'shav, you should not swear in God's name falsely. Now, if you look both in Parshas Yisro as well as in Parshas Veschanan, I'm scrolling down a little bit, you will note Dibra number three, Gimel, is exactly identical. There is no difference. Lo sisa es shem Hashem el kecha l'shav, ki lo yinake Hashem eis asher yisa eshmo l'shav. There is no distinction. This third Dibra is the Dibra where God is telling, don't swear my name falsely. There is no false swearing. And here you see no distinction in terms of the way that it's articulated by Moshe in Sefer Dvarim and Mishneh Torah, as opposed to the way that God articulated it to the Jewish people directly in the Midbar in Chorev at Matan Torah. However, we move now to the fourth Dibra, and this is the last of the first section of Dibros in terms of those that are directly correlating between Ben Adam Lemakom, between man and God, although Kavidas Avicha also is in that category, but it's sort of a intermediary. Here you're going to see the most distinguishable characteristic traits. There are glaring differences, glaring changes that Moshe Rabbeinu makes. Of course, the most famous, the most well-known, and that's because the Gemara, Chazal already note this and make a very, very big deal about it, is in Parshas Yisro, Sefer Shmos, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos, as opposed to in Parshas V'eschanan, Shamor es Yom HaShabbos. So here Moshe, again, makes a very drastic, significant change. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos means remember, recall, reflect the Shabbos. And in Parshas V'eschanan, yesterday's Parsha, Shamor es Yom HaShabbos, guard the Shabbos. Now the Gemara notes that the difference between Zachor and Shamor is as follows. Zachor is referring to keeping the positive commandments of Shabbos. Kiddush, Lechem Mishneh, Shalosh Sudos, Oneg Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, all of the positive aspects of Shabbos, that's what's being reflected. And that's what's being taught by God to the Jewish people in Parshas Yisro. However, in Sefer Dvarim, we see something very different. Shamor es Yom HaShabbos means keep the Shabbos, guard the Shabbos, as opposed to Sefer Shmos, where it is the positive commands, the mitzvos asay of Shabbos, in Parshas Dvarim, in Parshas Veschanan, in Sefer Dvarim, it's the negatives, it's the low sases, Shomer, it's the lametes melachos, the 39 prohibited labors, that's what's being focused on here. So that's distinction number one between the fourth of the Ten Commandments. You see Zachor versus Shamor. But a second difference, and let's keep on reading together. Let's start with Parshas Yisro. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos lekacho. Sheish es Yamim Tavor. 6 days a week you should work. Vasisa kom lachtech. And in those 6 days, you should do everything that you are doing. V'yom ha'shvi Shabbos l'Hashem Elokecha. The seventh day is God's day, is our day. It's our day of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo sasa kom lacha. No work, no labor can be done. Who? Ata you, vincha v'techa, avducha v'mascha, v'emtecha v'gercha, asher b'shrecha, all of the Jewish people, sons, daughters, everybody, nobody is left out. Every Jew is required to keep the Shabbos. Why? Hisheshes yamim asa Hashem es Hashemayim es Haaretz es Yom Kol Hashabbos. God created the world in 6 days. Vayanach b'yom Hashvi, and God rested on the seventh day. Let's now go to Parshas Veschanan, and you're going to see an addition, a glaring addition. Moshe Rabbeinu adds two words. You go to Parshas Veschanan across the column, second pasuk in Dibra number 4-2. V'yom ha'shvi Shabbos Hashem Elokecha lo sas kol melacha at ovincha v'techa avdecha v'mascha v'shorcha v'chamorcha v'chol behemtecha. Stop. In the Dibros in Parshas Yisro, we spoke about animals. Your animals not working for you. Here Moshe stresses not only animals, but specific animals. Shor v'chamor, your donkey, v'chamor. We're adding all of the specific animals. Shorcha v'chamorcha. Now, of course, we have to add the question, why is Moshe adding the shor and the chamor? If once you say behemtecha, and we say behemtecha in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Veschanan, v'chol behemtecha, why does Moshe Rabbeinu add shorcha v'chamorcha? Number one, it's not mentioned in Parshas Yisro. You don't see it. It's missing. It's absent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, when he taught the Aseres HaDibros to the Jewish people, didn't say Shorcha v'chamorcha. God just said Uvehem Techa. And Moshe says Uvehem Techa in Parshas Veschanan and Sefer Dvarim. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu every Shorcha v'chamorcha? So a critical distinction here is understanding why are these two specific animals, the shor and the chamor, added. Finally, you'll take a look in the last pasuk in the fourth dibra is an absolute addition. V'zacharta, remember, ki eved hayisa b'eretz Mitzrayim. You know why you keep Shabbos? Well, why do we keep Shabbos? Why did God tell us we keep Shabbos? God told us the reason to keep Shabbos in Parshas Yisro is because I rested on day seven. I worked for 6 days. I created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh I rested. That's not why Moshe Rabbeinu says to keep Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know why you keep Shabbos? It has nothing to do with Bereishis. It has nothing to do with creation, but rather, what does it have to do with? V'zacharta ki ever yisa b'eretz Mitzrayim. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. God took you out there with a mighty hand. That's why God commanded you on Shabbos. God commanded you in Shabbos because you were slaves in Egypt. A third distinction between Shabbos as articulated in Yisrael as opposed to the way Shabbos is articulated in Parshas Veschanan. God tells us the reason that we keep Shabbos in Parshas Yisrael when giving the Aseres Nedibos to the Jewish people, it's because of Bereishis. I worked for 6 days, I rested on the seventh. Moshe says, no. Do you know why God gave you Shabbos? God gave you Shabbos. The Pasuk says, God commanded you to keep the Shabbos because you were slaves in Egypt. And now God took you out of Egypt. And now you have a relationship with God. We want you to recall that, to remember that, to take note of that. And therefore, that's why you keep Shabbos. So there are three significant changes, three significant differences in the fourth commandment, in the fourth Dibra, in Parshas Veschanan, Shamor as opposed to Zachor. Shorcha and Chamorcha is added. Not only is it Behemtecha, and the different reason why we keep Shabbos, because we were slaves, as opposed to the fact that we were, God created the world in 6 days, as in the seventh he rested. However, if you take a look in the fifth Dibra, and this, as I just noted, is the last of the first column, and when the Aseres HaDibros were put and placed on the actual tablets, so of course there were five on one tablet, the first five were on one tablet, the second five were on the second tablet. Kabbalah Savicha is the last of the five commandments, so it's a sort of a segue between the first five and the last five. Kabbalah Savicha Simecha is a mitzvah between man and God, and it's also a mitzvah between man and man, because it's between parents and children. But here you'll see another two very significant differences between the way it's articulated by Moshe in Parshas Ve'eschanan, as opposed to the way they're articulated by God in Parshas Yisro. Let's read Parshas Yisro, the fifth commandment. Seems relatively straightforward. Honor your father and your mother in order that your days will be lengthened on this world that God has given you. Now, take a look in Parshas Ve'eschanan. Kabbalah Savicha Ve'simecha Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha L'man Yarichu Yomecha L'man Yitav Lach Al Adam Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosi Lach. Two significant differences, says Moshe to the Jewish people. Honor your father and mother Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha as God has commanded you. It doesn't say that, of course, in Parshas Yisro, because in Parshas Yisro, it's God commanding. But here Moshe adds something that he doesn't add in the other Dibros. Keep, honor your father and your mother like God commanded you. Now note, by the way, I didn't highlight this in the sheet, but if you take a look in the fourth commandment, it also says that there. Take a look back in the fourth commandment. The Pasuk says, Shamar Siyom HaShabbos Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Right? Keep Shabbos, guard Shabbos, like God has commanded you. And of course the question is, we know that we keep all the mitzvot because God commanded. Not just Shabbos, not just honoring your father and mother. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu specifically add in the fourth and fifth commandment that we should guard Shabbos, safeguard Shabbos, keep Shabbos, that we should honor our father and mother, as the Pasuk says here, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as God has commanded you. Of course we keep Shabbos because God has commanded us. Why is Moshe adding that here specifically in these two commandments, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as God has commanded you? We know that. That's true. So why not put that in all of the Dibros? Why not say Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha in all 10 commandments? If Moshe is coming to add something new, so simply say Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha in each of the 10. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu only add that in the fourth and the fifth commandment? That's distinction number one in the fifth commandment. But in distinction number two, in Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Yisro, it says, honor your father and your mother, in order that your days will be lengthened on this earth. It says that in Parshas Veschan as well, but more than that, it will be good for you. Moshe Rabbeinu adds those three words. If you honor your father and your mother, it's going to be good for you. It's in your best benefit. Why doesn't Hashem say that? And why is Moshe adding Leman Yitavach? If it already says Leman Yerich Yomecha that your days will be lengthened, and Hashem said your days will be lengthened, why are we adding here it's also going to be good for you? You take a look as we segue from the mitzvos bein Adam lemakom to the mitzvos bein Adam lechavero, the latter five commandments. And all of these five commandments are interpersonal mitzvos, interpersonal between man and man. You'll note and you'll see here something that doesn't strike you immediately. The first thing that strikes you as basic is in the ninth commandment, lo sane bereacha et shaker, or as it's said in Parshas Veschanon, lo sane bereacha et shav. You can't be give false testimony. The way it's articulated in Sefer Shmos in Parshas Yisro is you can't be an aid sheker. Sheker is a lie. You can't be a false witness. You can't be a liar. Aid shav also means a liar, or also means false. Why the difference between sheker and shav? That means that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to stress something here. He doesn't use the same word that God used when teaching the Jewish people the Ten Commandments. When God told people the Ten Commandments, he said, aid sheker, a lie. You can't be a liar. But here in the ninth commandment, what does God say? Aid, Moshe says, aid shav. So we have to understand that as well. What's the difference between sheker and shav? Now, if you read this quickly, it looks like there is zero difference at all between commandments 5 through 9 in Parshas Shmos, Sefer Shmos versus Sefer Dvar. But if you look a little bit carefully and you're wearing your glasses and you go close to the screen, you'll see there's another distinction. In Sefer Shmos, Parshas Yisro, let's read together, Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov, Lo Sane Brecha Et Sheker. Don't murder, don't be a noef, don't be illicit relationships. Lo Tignov, don't steal. Lo Sane Brecha Et Sheker, don't be produce false testimony. Turn to Parshas Veschanan. Lo Tirzach, Ve'lo Tinaf. V'lo tignov, v'lo sana brecha et sheker. Moshe Rabbeinu adds 3 vavs. There's a vav achibur. It's not independent as Moshe Rabbeinu was, as God told the Jewish people in Sefer Shmos and Parshas Yisro. Each is independent. Lo tirzach, stop. Lo tinaf, stop. Lo tignov, stop. Lo sana brecha et sheker, stop. They're independent. Moshe says, no, these four are not independent. They're interconnected, and they're so interconnected that there's a vav. There's a vav achibur, as we refer to it in grammar. There's a vav that's connecting each of the four commandments. I don't want them to be independent, says Moshe Rabbeinu. They're absolutely connected, and that's why I'm saying, lo tirzach, v'lo tinaf, v'lo tignav, v'lo sanet reche check. And of course, we must ask the question again, why? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu adding those vavs? And what's the significant addition that Moshe Rabbeinu is making in terms of interlocking and connecting each of those four commandments? And of course, it happens in the last as well. V'lo sachmo, turn to the 10th commandment, and don't covet, as opposed to the 10th commandment in Parshas Yisro, lo sachmo, independent. So the latter 5 dibros, the interpersonal mitzvos, the mitzvos bein adam lechaveru, the mitzvos between man and man, are all independent of each other. Each 5 stand in a vacuum. Murder, adultery, stealing, false testimony, coveting, each of those 5, the way God tells them to the Jewish people, are 5 independent mitzvos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, they're not independent. They're interconnected. Don't murder and don't and be involved in adulterous relationships, and don't steal, and don't take false testimony, and don't covet. So that, again, must be understood why the additional vavs. And finally, the last distinguishing factor is an addition that Moshe Rabbeinu makes in Parshas Veschanan. You'll take a look, it's bolded. In Sefer Shmos, it's lo sachmon, don't covet. In Sefer Dvar, Moshe Rabbeinu adds something else. Lo sachmor eshes recha, you shouldn't covet your friend's wife. V'lo sis ave, you shouldn't desire a new love. So much so that the Rishonim, the Rambam, and it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, And in Choshen Mishpat, there are two independent lavin. There's a lav of coveting, and there's a lav of desire. And the way the Rambam explains the distinction between them is there's something called desire, and then there's acting on your desire. I could covet and want something all day. But the Rambam says, based upon the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, there are two independent lavin. There are two independent negative commandments. There's not to desire and not to act on your desire. So Moshe Rabbeinu adds, lo sis aveh, don't desire something, don't want something, and also don't do anything about it. As opposed to in Sefer Shmos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu articulates the Ten Commandments, you will note, it's only chemda. So let's just review the differences, so we're all on the same page between Sefer Shmos and Sefer Dvarim. The Dibros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael following Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the distinction between the Dibros that Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Veschanan. Just to review, what are the differences we have, and how could we put them together? Difference number one is in the second commandment, Pesel Vichol Timuna, as opposed to Pesel Kol Timuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people, don't create, don't fashion, don't worship an image or any picture, and any picture, as opposed to Moshe says, Pesel Kol Timuna, a image which is a picture. In the fourth commandment, the difference between Zachar and Shamar, the difference between Moshe adding Shorcha Vechamorcha, the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu adding that the reason for keeping Shabbos is not because of creation, but it's rather because of the Exodus. And of course, the addition that Moshe gives, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, we keep Shas because that's what God told us to do. In the fifth commandment, Kavedes Avicha Vesimecha, we saw Moshe Rabbeinu made two additions. Number one, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, we have to honor our father and mother because God commanded us. And Moshe adds another three words, Laman Yitavach, that it's going to be good for you, which is not noted, which is not articulated, which is not said or written in the Dibros in Parshas Yisrael. The latter differences in the five final dibros ben Adam Lachaber, we just noted, the additional vav in each of the five commandments, vilo tinaf, vilo tignov, vilo sanabrecha eid shaker, vilo sachmod, why they add additional vav, aid shav versus aid shaker, and finally Moshe Rabbeinu adds, lo sisaveh, not to desire. Are there any questions that anybody might have before I try to put this all into perspective? Okay, let me share with you Rav Hirsch's approach to these differences. Rav Hirsch points out each of these differences. Many Meforshei Chumash note these distinguishing factors, these additions that Moshe Rabbeinu notes in Parshas Veschanan, and there are many different discussions, suggestions, observations that Meforshei Chumash make in our Parshas Veschanan. What's unique about Rav Hirsch's approach, which I'd like to share with you this morning, is that Rav Hirsch puts all of these distinguishing factors into one perfect picture, and he explains that Moshe's additions that he makes in Sefer Dvarim fits into something that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to do generally in Sefer Dvarim, as I pointed out last week. And what is that? Rav Hirsch says the following. You know what Sefer Dvarim is all about? And do you know what really categorizes Sefer Dvarim? Says Rav Hirsch, that Moshe is speaking to a new generation. As opposed to Sefer Shmos, Sefer Vayikra, where the Torah is really dealing, and God is dealing with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. God is speaking to the Jewish people in the desert. It's the people who witnessed Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the generation that saw Kriyas Yamsuf. It's the generation that had the Slav, the Be'er, the Mun, and all of the miracles. That's what Sefer Shmos is, and that's really the lion's share, when you think about it, of all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It's Shmos, it's Vayikra, and it's Bamidbar. Sefer Dvarim is Mishneh Torah, says Rav Hirsch, not because it's a repetition of the Torah, but rather because Moshe is stressing, he's Lishanos. He stresses certain elements of the Torah that need to be stressed to a new generation, to a new people, the people entering Eretz Yisrael. We're in the 39th year in the desert now. We're at the cusp of entering the land of Israel. Therefore, says Rav Hirsch, that Moshe is teaching the Jewish people how to prepare to enter the land of Israel. And therefore, Rav Hirsch explains in his introduction to Sefer Dvarim, and I suggest you take a look at it yourself. It's a beautiful piece at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, where Rav Hirsch describes that Moshe is stressing to the people certain mitzvos, because there are particular mitzvos that must be learned, must be practiced, and must be the focus in the land of Israel. And as Rav Hirsch notes in his introduction to Sefer Dvarim, there are about 100 mitzvos that are noted, that are given to the Jewish people in Sefer Dvarim. The majority of them, the lion's share, 70 of them, are all new mitzvos. Only 30 of the mitzvos that we read about in Sefer Dvarim are repetitive of that which what we received already. And Rav Hirsch explains that God is telling Moshe, and Moshe is telling the Jewish people, there's certain things that I need to stress to you at this moment. I am passing on. I'm not going to go with you into Eretz Yisrael. I need to prepare you like a teacher, like Rabbeinu, how to enter the land of Israel and what's going to be important to you there in the land of Israel. And therefore, Moshe stresses a lot about Avodah Zarah. A lot of the repetitive mitzvos, a lot of the mitzvos that are repeated again are about Avodah Zarah. A lot of the mitzvos that are repeated in Sefer Dvarim is because we're going to deal with the Shiva Amamim. We're going to deal with the seven nations that are living there, so we don't want to be influenced by them. We're going to have to know how to deal with them. And more than that, says Rav Hirsch, in Sefer Shmos, in the Midbar, we were a united front surrounding the Mishkan. And we were centralized people, and all of our avodah was centered around the Mishkan, which was in the middle. But here, as we enter the land of Israel, we're going to be disparate. We're going to find ourselves in the north of Israel, in the south of Israel, in the east of Israel, in the west of Israel. Klal Yisrael is not going to be together. And that's why there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, to pilgrimage up to Yerushalayim on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, which was not a mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people in Shmos or Vayikra, because now we're separate. And now we're everywhere throughout Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we need to be able to come together and to be able to work together. And therefore, there are new mitzvos that need to be the focus as we enter Eretz Yisrael, as we enter the land that was promised to us and we're going to have. And because we're not a united front necessarily, because we're more disparate, we need to create a social justice system and to create a system of rule and order. Sanhedrin, Dayanim. Rules of the Bez Din HaGadol, rules regarding judges, rules regarding Bein Adam L'Chaver, into personal mitzvahs that were never so critical as they were in the Midbar. Because there, it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu through miracles expressing himself and revealing himself to us. But now when we enter the land of Israel, it's going to be more relationships between people. As opposed to God revealing himself to all of us in the Midbar, now we're going to have to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu on our own. We're going to have to work with each other. We're going to have a system of law and order. We're going to have a system of courts. In the Midbar was Moshe Rabbeinu. He held court, and he established the Zakenim to sit on a court. But now every city, every town, every vicinity throughout Eretz Yisrael is going to have to establish its own court system. We're going to have to know how to work with each other. And therefore, says Rav Hirsch, the stress of Sefer Dvarim is not simply Mishnah Torah to repeat. It's not repeating. As the Netziv, the Barbanel, Rav Hirsch point out, there's little repetition. But you know what there is? There's stress on particular mitzvos, particular halachos, particular philosophical tenets that need to be stressed as the Jewish people prepare to transition from a life of miracles in the Midbar to a life of teva, of natural order in Eretz Yisrael. And that, says Rav Hirsch, is the purpose, is the point of all of Sefer Dvarim. With that backdrop, now you can appreciate what Rav Hirsch says in Parshas Veschanan. And piggybacking on what he says in his introduction to Sefer Dvarim, he says that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to do in the Aseres HaDibros, to come to show, to highlight, to focus this distinction between the door HaMidbar and the door Nichnasim L'Eretz Yisrael. Moshe has to sort of change a bit and has to re-stress and has to refocus, and has to concretize the Dibros to a people who are entering Eretz Yisrael. It's a different door. It's true God speaks to the Jewish people. It's true Moshe speaks to the Jewish people with the Aseres HaDibros, but it's a different Jewish people, and it's a different stress. And therefore, we can understand and explain each of the distinctions that Moshe Rabbeinu makes in Parshas Veschanan according to Rav Hirsch. Take a look, beginning with the second commandment. Moshe removes the vav, pesel v'chol temuna, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the Jewish people in the Midbar, there are two things you can't do, pesel, an image, and any picture. When you remove the vav, it's a stressor. Pesel kol timuna. It's not pesel v'chol timuna. It's not two independent things. It's not chairs and tables. It's chair table. I'm stressing something very, very severe here. This is serious, says Moshe Rabbeinu. You're entering the land of Eretz Yisrael where there's going to be an enormous amount of avodah zarah. The chiti, amari, prizi, yavusi, girgashi. These are people who are idol worshippers. That's what they do. That's who they are. And we need to make sure that you're not going to fall prey to them. So Moshe removes the vav achibur to separate pesel to tmuna and says pesel kol tmuna. Moshe Rabbeinu is stressing that every element of avodah zarah needs to be kept very, very sharply, carefully. Don't get caught. Don't get trapped. Don't get confused. Don't fall prey to the host in the land of Israel. Don't get caught up in their lifestyle. I need to speak to you and to explain to you what's happening. And therefore, if you look in the fourth commandment regarding Shabbos, it's a whole different Shabbos in the Midbar than it is in Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos in the Midbar, Zachor, remember Shabbos. Keep the positive commandments. But now you're entering the land of Eretz Yisrael. You know what you're going to do when you enter? You're going to have to till the soil. You're going to have to sow the fields. You're going to have to harvest. You're going to have to reap. You're going to have to work the land. Says God, 6 days a week you could do that. But on Shabbos, Shamor, guard, safeguard, no prohibited labors, 39 commandments. That Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's what I have to stress to you. Don't get caught up in a world of work. Until now in the Midbar, you were getting the slug, the be'er, the mun. It was free lifestyle. You were getting free deliveries. It was nothing to do. You didn't have any work. The mun came to your doorsteps. You weren't able to do anything else. You didn't have to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of you. But now you're entering the land of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have to work 9 to 5, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Stop. Don't keep on working. Allow your fields to rest. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have to add something. Shorcha v'chamorcha. I have to stress all of your animals. Because I can't just say colloquially and collectively, behemtecha, animals. I got to talk to you about the animals that you have, each of your animals. I got to be as specific and as clear as I can be. And I have to be as explicit as I can be, says Moshe. I'm your teacher. I'm your Rebbe. I'm your father. I want to take care of you. I need to make sure you understand the fine print. And the fine print needs to articulate every single element of Shabbos because Shabbos is so crucial. And now it's going to be your lifeline to creating a connection with Hashem. You had Shabbos every day of the week in the Midbar. Shabbos was Sunday from Sunday. Every day was Shabbos. You had a relationship and a understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest sense that no Jew ever had. But now when you enter the land of Israel, you're going to have to find Hashem. You're going to have to work. And when you work, you will create that relationship. And through agricultural lifestyle and system, you will find Hashem. Hazorim bedima barina yitzara. You plant with tears. You will be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoy. But you're going to have to work. But stop on Shabbos. And thus it's shamor. It's the negatives. And it's shorcha v'chamorcha. The third distinction I'm going to get back to in a moment. The fifth commandment I'm going to get back to in a moment. But take a look in the tenth commandment. And here are the additional vavs in the interpersonal mitzvahs. And each of the five interpersonal mitzvahs, Moshe adds a vav, and he adds lo sis ave. And explains Rav Hirsch that the reason for that is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu understands that the Jewish people are entering the land of Israel, and they're going to have to deal with each other. And therefore, Moshe is stressing that all interpersonal relationships are interconnected. Murder. I'm coveting, desiring, adultery, stealing all stem from the same place. It's all about relationships. It's not independent anymore. In the Midbar, you could view murder independently from adultery, and you could view adultery separately and independently from stealing and from swearing falsely and from desiring. Those are five independent. But now when you're entering the land of Eretz Yisrael, and there are going to be relationships that are going to be very serious, you're going to have to deal with friends, a boss, a colleague, a neighbor, you're going to have business relationships, you're going to have to work together. And therefore, Moshe stresses that in the social society and your developing community, you have to understand that all interpersonal relationships are connected. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu stresses, says Rav Hirsch, the addition, lo tis'ave. Tis'ave means desire. All interpersonal relationships, and the Gram makes this point as well, stems from the 10th commandment, taiva, desire. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, the problem that you're going to have, your inability to succeed, is going to only stem from one thing, taiva, desire. If you could remove desire, you'll be okay, you won't deal, murder won't be an issue. Coveting won't be an issue, adultery won't be an issue, swearing falsely won't be an issue. So therefore, says Rav Hirsch, Moshe Rabbeinu adds, lo sis'ave, don't desire, because desire is at the root cause and is at the fundamental of all the breakdown of human relationships. When there is desire, when there's a need, when I'm looking over my neighbor's fence and I see something, that's when all fences break down, that's when all relationships break down, and Moshe Rabbeinu stresses taiva, desire. And therefore Moshe links that with the vav, to tirtzach, to tinaf, to tignov, sanerecha, chechen, lo sachmar, eshes recha. It's all interconnected. And that's the stress in lo sisave. Thus Rav Hirsch's point, and Rav Hirsch's theme, both in Parshas Dvarim, as well as in Parshas Veschanan. And this is a theme of Rav Hirsch throughout Mishnah Torah. And it's really highlighted and most apparent and poignant here in the Aseres Hadibros, is that Sefer Dvarim, the Aseres Hadibros, is talking to a new people. It's talking to a new door. It's talking about the door Nichnasim LeEretz Yisrael, the generation that's entering the land of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has to stress different things. Moshe has to show them that you're different. You're a new people. You're a new generation. You're not in the Midbar. You got to still be able to use the Aseres Hadibros, but at the same time recognize that you're different and I have to stress different things. With all that, let's go back to two points that I didn't make that Rav Hirsch finishes off with. Rav Hirsch says the reason in the fifth commandment for Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha and Leman Yitavlach, which are added, and in Shabbos, when the addition Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha says of Hirsch, if you want to be successful and you want to succeed as a new generation, as a new people, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a different life in the land of Israel than you did in the Midbar, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your ancestors. Don't forget your parents. Don't forget about the Midbar. You gotta hold tight to where you came from, to your ancestors and to your faith. It's true, there's a different stress. Every generation has its own challenges. Our parents had different challenges than we have. Our children have different challenges than we have. Every generation has its own successes, their own ups and downs, their own trials and tribulations. But don't forget where you came from. And therefore says Hashem, Kabiris Avicha Vesimecha, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. As God has commanded you, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm not telling you to divorce these 10 commandments from the commandments in Sefer Shmos and in Parshas Yisro. Chalila, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as God commanded you. And so too in Shabbos, even though it's a different reason, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that I'm telling you to keep Shabbos. I'm saying keep Shabbos because Avadim Hayisam Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says the reason to keep Shabbos is because I created the world in 6 days and I rested on the seventh. But says Moshe, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, keep Shabbos because Hashem told you to keep Shabbos. Honor your parents because you got to remember where you came from. And even though I am carving out a new life for you, a new vision for you, a new land for you, and I'm not going to be with you, don't forget where you came from. Uleman yitavlach. It's going to be good for you. It's in your best interest. It's appropriate for you because that's what you need to do. And if you're going to keep Shabbos properly, if you're going to honor Shabbos properly, if you're going to honor your parents properly, you'll be successful. And this is the balance, says Rav Hirsch, that Moshe Rabbeinu was stressing to Klal Yisrael as they enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. You're a new generation and I need to speak to you differently. I need to focus and stress the mitzvos that are going to be more pronounced in Eretz Yisrael. You have to guard Shabbos and keep Shabbos. You can't be over any of the 39 commandments, not you and not Shorcha and Chamorcha. And you need to make sure not to have taiva. You need to make sure not to desire. And you need to make sure that Avodah Zarah is going to be something that you're prepared not to fall into. And I'm stressing these much differently than God did. It's my Torah Shebaal Peh. I'm explaining, I'm adding on to the, what God said for your generation. That's what the Mishnah does, that's what Gemara does. Chazal, Torah Shebaal Peh, stress and re-stress, focus and refocus what it was that God told the people, and that's left to Chachmei HaMesorah, to the rabbis of the Mesorah, to decide, to decipher, to articulate, to explain what it was that God meant. And every generation, as it says in Chazal, dor, dor, v'dorsham, every generation has its own unique place, has its own unique situation. It's the generation before the Holocaust. It's the generation of the Holocaust. It's the generation of America. Every generation has its own unique standing. Our generation, the technology generation, the internet generation, the social media generation has a different way that we have to be spoken to and that we have to talk and we have to understand than our parents' generation, than our grandparents' generations, survivors and new immigrants in this country. We all have to apply the message, the lessons, the rules, the halachas of the Torah, Torah Shebichtav, but has to be worked through our generation. That's up to the greatest, the rabbis, to explain. That's what Chazal did. That's what the Mishnah does. That's what the Gemara does. And the Rishonim and Achronim elaborate upon that. But here you see Moshe Rabbeinu is the beginning of the Mesorah. As the Mishnah says in the Seches Avos, Moshe kibel Torah misina Mesorah liYoshua. Moshe is the first in the transition and the explanation, the elucidation of Hashem's Torah to the Jewish people. Thus, this is Rav Hirsch's approach. We don't have time really to read on the second page Rav Hirsch, who makes each of these points, but you'll see on page 2 Rav Hirsch's approach. You can look for yourself if you want in Parshas Dvarim and in Parshas Ve'eschanan, Rav Hirsch's approach both to Mishnah Torah, Sefer Dvarim, as well as to the Aseres HaDibros. I hope I've done justice to explaining the distinction between the Dibros in Yisro versus the Dibros Ve'eschanan, according to Rav Hirsch. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week. Gevurah Shavua Tov.